Wendy's Coffee House.
There's always something good in a chart, and you could wedge it open like a door. Like, let's say there's some sunlight coming through, you know, a slightly open door. You can push that door open, and you can use that goodness to help other parts of your life.
Susan Miller started learning astrology from her mom when she was 15. Astrology Zone, she started that in 1995, now serving 200 million page views to 11 million unique readers a year. That's pretty astounding. She also knows Kansas City barbecue.
Oh my God, I never tasted barbecue like that. I was like, waiter, can I buy these bottles? And they said, well, we'll buy them for you, Susan. And I bought all three, and they took me to the best place for it. And I really want to come back. You know, people in the Midwest don't know me that well, but usually I can only go somewhere if I'm invited. I don't know how to do it any other way. But I did give a book signing in Barnes & Noble, and 750 people came. And my app was pretty new then. You know, you want Sprint to see that you have some kind of following. So
yeah,
it was great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Back in the day doing the DJ shift, we usually would have the Astrology Zone website pulled up. It was helpful to have a guideline of how the week was going to go.
Yes, and astrology is about grabbing opportunity. Sometimes you're so focused on one part of your life that there's some glittering things happening over to the left and you're not even looking at, and I want you to be aware of them, because some of the aspects are once in a lifetime. They're so special, and other times you might have to wait a year for something that nice. So it's my job to show you the full smorgasbord of what you have each month.
There was an article that just came out, Harper's Bazaar. This is something that they said about you. Her bosses are skeptical, but Miller met their doubt like she does all obstacles. With the indefatigable tenacity of a native New Yorker, a Piscean knack for free association, and 24-carat enthusiasm. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to frame that quote.
Yes.
That was so nice,
yes,
of them. They were talking about me in my first discussions with Time Warner. They had asked me to write a short piece for women every day. And I said, no, I want to change the world. I can't do it with 50 words per sign. And they're looking at me, you know, Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth in their suits, you know, up in the tower. I said, I have a better idea. And I said, but you're flying in the face of web wisdom. They all say it should never be longer than 500 words per sign, and or anything. No article should be that long, longer than that. And I said, when it comes to astrology, it's different. Mm-hmm. And that may apply to everybody else. But when you're trying to get answers, I have the room on the internet. I need to explain things. Because with astrology, too short can be confusing and misleading. And they asked me a few more questions. But the average reader comes in 3 times a month. And that was my gut. I thought they'd come back because I mentioned specific dates that I want people to be aware of. And that's why I even print a calendar. Actually, I print the calendar for myself. I self-publish it, and then, you know, I share it with the world, and people really love it. I hire the best artists, the thickest archival paper, the richest inks. There's nothing like it. Amazon would want me to charge more. At this point, it's $27 on my website. I don't want to charge any more than that, because I have to charge shipping too, because I'm little. And, you know, so I don't give it to the big stores to sell. I sell it. It's a lot of fun, and I love the letters I get from readers. So it's fun. And, you know, I have 37% male readers. Men want to know the future. Actually, in the old days, in ancient Mesopotamia, where astrology started with the Babylonians, it was really the province of the king to have a mathematician from a nearby university come by horseback to the castle, sit down, do his chart, and then go back in time to teach again the next day. So it was an expensive proposition. So only royalty or maybe very wealthy families could afford an astrologer. Now it's democratic. Anybody can have one.
Especially if you've got access to the internet.
That's right.
That's what I liked about it. In doing this, when you started out, what has changed since, you know, when you were first?
Everything. Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, when I first tuned in on the net, everything was black and white. There was no color. They even told me at Time Inc. that they couldn't design my website. They didn't have the time. I said, no, just put it up. I have no readers. So it was black and white. Then they finally had some color, so there was a little red banner at the top. And then 6 months later, they did design it for me. I don't know if your viewers know that there's a museum of websites called the Wayback Machine. And yes, if you Google it, and I'm on it, you know what surprises me is that in these years, my writing's gotten better and better and better. And I really stretch. I mean, I try. I don't, you know, it's not something that happens all by itself. I try to use different words. But if you read a lot, you write better. And I have 4 editors. It takes a village.
Wow.
But I have an editor-in-chief and 3 senior editors. And they're from big places like Meredith Publishing and CNN. And one comes from a fashion magazine. You have to stretch and you have to try to be better in anything you do, whether you're an accountant or a doctor or a teacher. Whatever you do in life, you want to stretch. You want to be the best you can be. But it was funny, after 20 years, I thought, well, I'm probably not going to get any better. And then I'm noticing it's coming out easier and smoother and better and better. People talk about my warmth. That's the nicest compliment. That I want to be your friend sitting in your kitchen, having a cup of coffee with you and telling you what's coming up and what's exciting. Because there's always something good in a chart and you could wedge it open like a door. Like, let's say there's some sunlight coming through, you know, a slightly open door. You can push that door open and you can use that goodness to help other parts of your life. And I show you how. And I give you the dates, and I'm very specific, because my little mom taught me astrology. That's the German side of my family. It was very precision-oriented, and the other side is Italian. Very passionate, Sicilian-Italian, but it's a good combination. My mother was very loving. She did not want me to learn astrology. She said, you have to study 12 years, or you won't be any good. It takes time, Susan, and it's not just astrology. You have to kind of integrate philosophy into it and ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I love about astrology. No matter how long you study it, there's always more to learn, more petals to pull down, and the flower opens and opens and opens, and you understand more and more about life.
I want to ask you about your mom, because she was a big part of this.
Yeah, we lost her in 2012, and I think of her every day. I was born with a birth defect, and that really colored my entire life. I would be fine walking with you, and then suddenly I would be in excruciating pain. I would feel some kind of liquid falling from up high in the hip down into the knee. I would be in so much pain, I'd have to go to bed immediately. And that's why I couldn't travel, because, you know, you have to be in your home. I wouldn't be able to move an inch in the bed for 6 to 8 weeks. And since most doctors couldn't see me at the height of my problem, because I couldn't move, they thought I was making it all up, because when I was well, I was fine. Mm-hmm. And when I was sick, I was in terror. And my mother would change the sheets with me in the bed, pulling the old sheet out and the new one in. You know, she would change them a lot. She said, you know, Susan, when you're 14, this is going to go away. Really, Mama? That sounds odd. Well, she saw certain aspects in my progress chart. Sure enough, I was 13 and 11 months when I got a really big attack. And she said, we can't go on like this, because when you get an attack, you're in bed for 6 to 8 weeks. It would only be once a year, but it usually was triggered by my birthday or Christmas or Easter Bunny. Something happy would usually trigger, although that time when I was 13, it didn't. I was making fudge at the stove as a surprise for my family, as like a surprise dessert. I was brought to the hospital. My father had an Italian specialty grocery store where a lot of the hospital people would come in for their sandwiches at lunchtime. He had the prosciutto and the mozzarella and all the great stuff. One name kept coming up, the chief of staff of the Hospital for Joint Diseases, part of NYU Langone. Now, Dr. Frankel had no idea what was wrong with me. So he put me in the hospital for a week, but he never yelled at me like the other doctors did, never accused me of making it up, and finally said, we have to go in because we are at a loss here. And I had something very rare. It turned out that my veins were turning to tissue paper and vanishing under pressure. So just being excited for Christmas or anything, even a growth spurt, would tear them open and I would bleed profusely internally.
My guest, Susan Miller with Astrology Zone. And with the diagnosis, it doesn't make it go away, but things are looking up. We'll continue. Wendy's Coffee House.
I was to stay in the hospital 11 months. And my mother really gave me the courage to walk again because they had to tourniquet me so tightly to save the leg and to save me that they knew they were going to damage the main nerve that fed the bottom part of my left leg.
Wendy's Coffee House. Susan Miller, Astrology Zone. Recovery takes a little work, actually a lot of work.
And when I woke up, I couldn't move my toes. I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't wiggle them. I couldn't move my foot up and down. And my doctor said, okay, you're young. We're going to first work on your circulatory system, and then we're going to put you in intensive physical therapy, which lasted 2.5 years for 5 days a week. But my mother would never, this is so good for your listeners to know, when you go visit someone, first of all, wear a pretty color. Don't wear black. or gray or brown, you know. Wear something for her. She was always in pastels. She'd say, Susie, when we break you out of jail, which she meant the hospital, she said, you're going to have so many pretty dresses. You'll be able to go to parties. And you'll have so many shoes. Now, remember, she's talking to a 14-year-old girl. She always painted a picture of what's coming. At those days, first they put you on a tilt table to get used to being upright because your whole circulatory system is, you're used to being in bed. And then you're on the parallel bars, which seems like you're going, you know, to Arizona just to go across the room. And she would give me so much happiness and courage to think about what you'll do, how your life will change. Mm-hmm. And it was true. I was never able to go to camp or do anything that other kids did because we never knew when an attack was coming. When I finally got out of the hospital, and I never attended high school, I went to NYU. And when I graduated, and I graduated with honors, I majored in business because my father said, when this nightmare is over, you'll have to get a job someday. And I said, you could say that again, Daddy. And he said, well, if you major in business, you'll always work. And those words, you'll always work, was very appealing to me. Okay, you know. And the first trip I took was to Japan by myself. I went on a charter flight. It was sort of a tour for 5 weeks. My mother almost had a heart attack. You're going to Japan by yourself? I said, well, there's a young lady, and, you know, she's my age, Nellie from France, and she's going on the trip. So we're going to room together. And it was really a lot of fun. I've always loved the Far East. So I did get my liberation. I'm trying to do for the world what my mom did for me. You know, there was no marketing plan or something to make money. I figured if I did a good job doing that, what Mom did for me, the universe would take care of me. I'm deeply religious Catholic. And I thought, well, if God doesn't want me to do this, he'll stop me from doing it. Believe me, when you start a business, there are so many obstacles. It's like the sliding door concept that it could go this way or that way. At some point, you're looking into the precipice. And, you know, when Time Warner got involved with AOL, I was new on the internet. It was only 3 years, and they said, you have to go. And I had nowhere to go. And, gosh, I loved my site. It was my little baby. I had trademarked it and everything. And the only people who were talking to me were Microsoft. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go out to Bellevue. But that meeting didn't go well because, well, at the time I was writing 17,000 words a month divided by 12 signs. Now I'm writing about 40,000 words divided by 12 signs.
Wow.
I'm writing more.
Yes.
Everybody thought I'd get tired. I got more energy, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody was slamming doors in my face. And I had just had an article come out on Apple, The Astrologer Who Believes in Apple. I had written to them and I said I didn't like the way Steve Jobs was being portrayed in the press and that I could help. And even though he's a little mouse and they were big, I could help. And give me your logo and I'll put it on the front page of my website because it really is written on a Mac and the servers really are Mac. Who is this person? And so they wrote the story about me and then they started sending people to me in the story. Well, you know, it's funny how things work out. I was in Bellevue. It's raining. I have a cough that sounds like whooping cough. I'm sure anybody today would like run away from me. And I it was a dentist convention. I was in this horrible hotel. And I called New York to see what was going on in my office. And they said, don't come home. All the airports are going to be closed. We're having a huge blizzard. It was in February. And it was, I think it was 1998. And so I took Apple to dinner in San Francisco. I flew down. And they wanted to know how the meeting went. And I said it was a disaster. They wanted to cut my content to 100 words per. And that, no, that wasn't what I wanted to do. And they said, well, did you go to InfoSeek? All former Apple people are working there. And I said, well, no, because they won't let me through the switchboard. They think I'm a headhunter. And they said, we'll get you an appointment. And it was really Apple that saved my life. So you never know where you're going to get help. Yeah. In this life. And I also feel that if you think about your life, maybe there's five people other than your parents who love you unconditionally. We won't talk about them. They, you know, they're not part of the five.
Right.
But maybe five people in your life that played a big role, an important teacher or a business colleague, or in my case, one of them was Apple, and they made that appointment for me. And I don't even know how to drive. They said, can you be there on Friday morning at 9 o'clock? And I'm like, yes. I have no idea how I'm going to get from San Francisco to Sunnyvale. No idea, not knowing that Caltrain takes you right down and that a taxi takes you to the door. But I didn't know it at the time. I said, yeah. So I think I stay in pretty, really good hotels. And the concierge will figure it out. You know, it was funny at that meeting, the lady was wearing jeans and a plaid shirt. And in New York, everybody was wearing suits, you know, and she had a grease board behind her with, you know, and she said, what are my options? And I didn't know what she meant. What I said, well, I guess you could just take the forecast, or you could take the Encyclopedia Evergreen, where I describe the signs. You could split the site, I suppose. She said, no, no, no. What are my choices in the world? I said, oh, my competitors. So I wrote their names, like five names, and then I put a big X. Now, remember, I have nowhere to go. I am looking into the abyss, right?
Yeah.
I put a big X, and I said, that would be a bad idea, because you wouldn't have my energy. So she laughed, and she said, yeah, but we charge a fortune to host other people's sites. And I said, no, you have it backwards. I charge a fortune to license it to you. So without blinking an eye, she said, who handles the advertising? I said, I want you to handle it. I don't want to mess with it. She extended her hand and said, sold American, just like that at the end of a, you know, an auction, you know. It changed my life. And Disney was coming in to buy InfoSeek a month later. And I'm thinking, how am I going to keep this going with a completely new set of people? And it went well in the beginning. And then all of a sudden it went radio silent. And at some point, you don't want to be annoying, and you just give up. And I remember I was standing in the bathroom with a beautiful black silk dress, putting on rhinestone earrings. It was New Year's Eve. I was going to go out with a couple of friends. My daughter's sitting on the bed doing her homework, and the phone rings. And it's 9 o'clock in New York, but it's 6 o'clock out west. And she said, Mommy, Kevin somebody, the chief counsel at Disney, wants to talk to you. I'm like, Kevin, oh my God. He said, we're sorry, but we're taking you, of course. I said, but Time Warner said I had to be out by tonight. He said, we'll talk to them. We'll tell them it's our fault. But I still have to put it through my legal. He said, we'll give you the time. We want you. Oh my God. You know, it was like
a
suspense novel.
Yeah.
I mean, it had lots of twists and turns. And then when I was going into Disney, they said, we're going to have 12 other astrologers. So I wrote the famous wedding memo because I couldn't get a hold of my lawyer who was in court. So I wrote, we just got married. We just came down the steps of the church and we're in the limousine. And my husband is nuzzling my neck saying, darling, I'm so happy we got married. And I can't wait to introduce you to the other astrologers at the reception. There were 12 of them. And you look a little shocked, but they're articulate, they're nice, there's nothing not to like. And I said, you know, when we married, I promised you everything I had to give. And, you know, in a partnership, that's how it has to be. And I owe you this, and I want to pay it off. But if you give me all these other sites that compete with mine on your servers, that's maybe not going to be possible. And I said, when we're getting out of the limo, the photographers are on the street and the press, and we must look like the happy couple. And then when we go into the reception, the music will be starting up and the flowers will be fresh on the table. Dance with me. I will give you everything I have to give. And if I disappoint you, you can divorce me. As a matter of fact, under those circumstances, you should divorce me. But for now, dance with me, and I will show you what I can do. They went with me and didn't hire the other 12.
Susan Miller, Astrology Zone. We'll pick it up where the dance left off in the next break and also check out the big picture, what's in the stars. Wendy's Coffee House, Susan Miller, Astrology Zone. So there you are, dance partners.
It was miraculous.
Wow.
But, and I would, I was to stay with them for 3 years, and then they decided they didn't want to be in the internet business in the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I was ready after 6 years. But the image I have in my head is like doing a dive off a big cliff into turquoise waters and praying there were no rocks when I got into the water. You know, you're always taking an act of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to hire your own engineers, your own team, everybody. And I also didn't know how I would pay people. So I was sitting on the couch and I said a prayer to God and I said, please give me a sign, something, a clue. And I said my prayers, and I'm alone in the living room, and I open my eyes, and there's nothing on my coffee table except the New York Times. And I'm just sitting there, you know, just praying that something will occur to me. And I look down at the paper, and it says, Stephen King making a fortune, and then you had to turn over the fold in ebooks. And I'm like, I said to myself, I can make more than him. I know I can. And so I called Warner Books and I said, can we do an ebook? Because I had just come out with Planets and Possibilities. And they said, oh, no, we don't do ebooks. Well, they wouldn't say that anymore, you know.
No.
But I said, I heard on the street that Barnes & Noble's hot to trot on ebooks. Am I allowed to go over there? Oh, yeah, go ahead. And I called them and I said, can I have an appointment? And they said, Susan, you live in Manhattan, right? I said, yeah, Upper East. They said, could you come right now?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, let me throw on a pretty dress and I'll be there. And they gave me a 5-book contract and it saved my life.
Wow.
But it was that prayer to God
yeah.
that, you know, it all ties in together. And I'm so lucky to have this job because it's my fun. It's my enjoyment. And, you know, I got my first vaccination. And I had to wear a mask, you know, at the hospital. And
yeah.
two readers recognized me that didn't know each other. Yeah. How did they recognize me? Just my eyes. That's crazy.
It's excellent.
It's just crazy. And they said such nice things. And that's what you live for. Now, when I'm an hour late and I'm on Twitter and everybody's screaming at me and throwing pies in my face, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
But
that's showbiz.
The happy part.
That's showbiz.
And meeting people like you is just the joy. It's just so nice because you learn something from everybody you meet.
The beauty of your content is it's there. It's accessible for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how people get hooked. That's how they come to rely on a resource.
And returning to your site generates income. And you also have some other activities, some other venues.
My calendar and the ads. And then sometimes I do, I have had a 5-year association with Fresh, the cosmetic company, which just ended because I have a new CEO, but that's fine. I still have a great relationship with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that I always felt that if it was meant to be, God would find the money for me. And I had a husband who never supported us. Remember, I never attended high school, so I was obsessed with education, sent them through the private school system in New York, then college, and then paid their student loans the way my father had done for me. That was like climbing Mount Everest, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I set out to do, it usually happens. You know, if you're just patient and you have a plan. I don't want people to think, oh, you had some rich husband to bankroll all this. No, and I didn't take venture capital. Once people start giving you money, they start controlling you. And with astrology, that can be dangerous. So I wanted to remain independent and just bootstrap as you go. But I had those first 6 years of licensing my content that gave me the boost that I had a foundation to build upon. I write for 5 magazines outside the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Vogue Japan, W Korea, Tempo in Turkey, Claudia Brazil, Amica Italy, Esmoda Spain. Well, Vogue Germany has just left because they didn't want to do the long translations, but I'm still with Vogue China. And that's why I have 52% of my readers outside the United States who speak English. I've tried doing foreign translations, but it's just too expensive because I write so much.
Yeah.
I'm in the app business too, you know, and I just placed a new revised app on the market. Everybody carries it. It's on the Apple App Store and on Google Play, both. It's called Daily Horoscope Astrology Zone. But if you just search Susan Miller, I come up and my picture comes up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Astrology Zone. Yeah. Everything. I did that on and Twitter because I know you're on Twitter. Let's go there.
Oh, yeah. I love Twitter. Writers like Twitter.
Betcha.
Yes. I like Twitter. You know, Twitter's gotten a bad name, but there are nice people on Twitter, too. And you can even make friends on Twitter.
I just went on right now as we're talking and shared the article from the Harper's Bazaar because it's like, okay,
Oh, thank you.
So there we go. When people are reading your site, this is huge. This year will be a game changer for a lot of people.
We're walking across a rickety bridge to a new way of life. I was telling friends this 2 years ago. I said, you know, things are going to change dramatically when Saturn and Jupiter meet on December 21st, 2020. A lot of people called it the Christmas star because it was so bright in the sky. Mm-hmm. Actually, in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, I should say, Mars was part of that, but Mars was busy this year. He was busy on assignment in Capricorn, so he couldn't make it. But it was bright, and people were even seeing the rings of Saturn on the West Coast. In the East Coast, there was a cloud cover, so we couldn't see it. Here's the mind-blowing part. Every time Jupiter and Saturn meet, it's every 20 years, but only once. They have dinner, that's it, once. And they color all of society, the politics, the fashion, the food, the entertainment, the arts, the music, everything starts becoming colored by the sign they meet in. Now, over the past 200 years, they've only met in Earth signs. Only, except for one exception, which I'll get to in a minute, it was in 1980. So it was Taurus, and then 20 years later, Virgo, 20 years later, Capricorn, and they kept rotating through, never changing the rotation. And what did we accomplish as human beings on Earth globally? Well, it was during the past 200 years that we built skyscrapers and cathedrals and roads, bridges, tunnels. We laid down railroad tracks and we had the Industrial Revolution, and we had the assembly line, which changed everything. And suddenly we were in a consumeristic society. Now, I took for granted that people always went into supermarkets and bought Cheerios or whatever. But then I thought, no, in the old days, you had to go to a general store and ask for oatmeal, and they would scoop it out for you and from one of those big barrels. And if you needed a new dress, you had to make it. You would pick out the fabric and, you know, so it's very different. You know, what we're living today was set up by Jupiter and Saturn the past 200 years. Well, when they met on December 21st, they no longer met in an Earth sign. They met in Aquarius. Whoa. And they're not going to meet in Earth anymore. They're going to meet in Aquarius, Libra, Gemini, and all the air signs. And air signs love to talk, love to communicate. Especially Aquarius loves to work in groups. And suddenly you're starting to see it. Now, whenever the universe is going to do something huge, it gives you little periscopes, little previews. On March 21st, Saturn went into Aquarius. And suddenly, what was happening last March? We were all in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all on our computers, and we were all learning Zoom.
Yes.
And we were wearing different clothes. We didn't have to dress up.
Thank you.
We weren't going in our car, right? We weren't going in our cars to go to work and spending 2 hours on the road. And suddenly our children are with us. We're cooking more. We weren't doing takeout. We weren't eating. We were eating better because we were cooking. And suddenly everything was changing. And this pandemic had caused so many switches. For example, there was great urgency to get the medicine together, you know, and figure out the vaccine. Well, they were working, like America was working with England and Denmark, and there were teams, and that's what Aquarius does. They like to work with other groups. And also, the head of Pfizer said, it's amazing what can be achieved when no one cares who gets the credit.
Yes.
That's so Aquarian.
Yeah.
My gosh.
That's huge.
And we're going from a patriarchal society where the king tells us what to do, or the president, to Aquarius, which is grassroots, coming up from the bottom.
Susan Miller, Astrology Zone. What's in store for each sign in the next break? Wendy's Coffee House, my guest, Susan Miller with Astrology Zone. What can we expect?
We can decide what we want now. It's a rare opportunity to rebuild in a different way, stronger way, with a good foundation, and helping each other.
We're talking February here.
The February 27th full moon has Uranus, the planet of surprise, in the perfect spot to give everybody a sweet surprise. And I tell you where in your life it's likely to happen, and it's delicious, you know. It's a full moon in Virgo, so of course Virgo will get something very dear to their heart that they have long wanted, you know. And Pisces, it probably comes through a partner or an agent or a headhunter or someone they have aligned with, or their spouse, you know, or a steady date. Sagittarius, it's going to come through the career, some spectacular news. And Gemini, it's something in the home, something to have, some news about home and family. Maybe your sister's having a baby, or, you know, something that brings the whole family together. Or maybe you got the bid on the new house that you wanted so badly and at a great finance rate. You know, something's going on this month that's really good. March is a good month too, because I'm writing March right now. You know, when I have a hard month like I did in October was not the easiest month, and we had one of the hardest full moons of the year right on Halloween. So that was tough. It takes me twice as long to write because I have to be careful not to overstate what I'm looking at, and also offer a way out of the briar patch.
And now you also say when you're reading the signs, you should read not just your birth, the sun sign, but also read the ascending sign.
Right, the rising sign. You can go to astro.com and plug in your birth information, but you do have to have your exact time of birth and the city of the hospital where you were born, not where you lived, but where your mom had you. Mm-hmm. And then you'll know. All you need to know is that rising sign. And so let's say you're a Capricorn and you have Aries rising, so that you partake of both. And people say to me, what if they conflict? What if Capricorn has terrible money aspects and Aries has good ones? It means it won't be as bad for you. It'll be good for you because you have that Aries influence. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of blend them in your mind after you close your computer and you've read what I've written, or your phone. Think about, she's talking a lot about friends, and she's talking a lot about home repairs and renovations. Well, your friends can give you the contacts that you can go to, or the places you can buy below wholesale and get beautiful furniture. You know, we're all sitting home and we're saying, you know what, this place needs a renovation. We're all feeling that way, yes. Making our list and checking it twice and saving up for it.
Okay. Now we're planning ahead.
Jupiter will be in Pisces, which is a very spiritual sign. It's lovely, very giving, and very artistic. So if we get this virus under control, we could have that renaissance, that artistic renaissance in 2022. Aries will be getting ready for their big close-up in 2023, so it's a quieter year. But Taurus, extremely social, lots of new friends, lots of new followers on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and anywhere else they go. And Gemini is going to have the biggest career year of their life in 2022. Huge. Cancer is going to do very well with foreign markets and the college market. Now, they may physically travel and take the trip of their lifetime, or they may simply be working overseas, like I do with all the foreign magazines I write for, and enjoy that and find it very profitable. Sometimes you work for a company that you don't even realize is French, you know, and they're based somewhere else, mm-hmm. not in America. So think about foreign markets. And also, some will go for their advanced degree. Now, Leo's going to make money on their investments big time. And in all the work they've been doing, if they work on commission, royalty, bonus, you know, many people, Leos, are in the entertainment field and do make residuals, or they're actors or screenwriters. And if you have an idea in you, start writing now, because 2022, you're going to do really well. You know, your book could get optioned, and it's just all good. Money just keeps pouring in, and you can't even believe it. For Virgo, they have the best marriage signs. Some of them will get married. Some will just have such strong, good, happy marriages. And it will be profitable, and it will give them, you know, money gives you options. You can take a trip together. You can buy a house. You can do things when you have money coming in. And Virgo will have plenty of money coming in. For the Libras, they have plenty of work to do. Like, they could even open a business of their own, because the phone keeps ringing. They get one assignment after another. If they've been out of work, they certainly won't be out of work at this time. Or they may just say, geez, so many people need my advice. I think maybe they know computers or whatever it is. They'll open a business, and they'll be able to hire people too. And that's usually the hardest part of a small business. And they'll find gems. The Scorpios, they really luck out. They have the best, most breathtaking love aspects possible, like something on the silver screen. Just gorgeous, gorgeous. And it doesn't matter if you're married or single, love comes to you. You start getting more attention from your husband or wife. This is great. Or if you're single, little cherubs are flying above, because Cupid is sending out his little fleet of angels for you. This is the biggest in 12 years, so this is huge. Mm-hmm. Sagittarius will have the best real estate aspects on the planet. They've been having trouble with flooding, and if you're a Sagittarius listening, be sure you get a rider for floods, because it's never built into the homeowner's insurance. You have to ask for it. And if you have it, you're going to be fine, because Neptune's going to hang out there for a little while, and Neptune likes to bring the sea with him into your house. You've already know this.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you something new, because it goes back a few years. They've been experiencing it. Capricorn, their ability to communicate will make or break the year. This is the year to come out with that killer app or that new software or a book or start a column. Everything centers around communication, and it's pretty exciting. For Aquarius, well, they're going to make money hand over fist. And it all depends on what they put in place in 2021. And Pisces, you're the celestial favorite in 2022. You get everything. Every 12 years, you get the cornucopia, the horn of plenty. The trick is, you have to know what you want, or the universe can't give it to you. You have to show your intent. So what is it? Love? Is it a new house? Or is it, I don't know, a baby? Whatever it is, you focus on that, because that's what's coming to you in 2022.
It's been so fun to talk with you, and I'm so glad you do what you do, and you give everybody the full spectrum, okay? Because that's what makes
it
worth it.
I hope you and I can have a dinner in Kansas City, and we sit down and have barbecue soon. As soon as we're allowed to fly and go places, I'll show up.
Okay, as soon as you get here, yeah, because we've got that fantastic barbecue. AstrologyZone.com, the calendar's there, the whole nine yards. I'm going to put some links on the website so you can check it out too. Susan, thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you missed your forecast, you can listen to the replay in the podcast archives, Wendy's Coffee House, on Audio Boom. So we can make it through 2021, and it sounds like 2022 is even better. Thanks for listening.